Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are a Battletech podcast highlighting these storied mercenary units in the Battletech universe. My name is Seth, aka White Fox SG, and I am your host. And today, in episode 30, we are chatting about the new core rulebook. Special thanks to Catalyst Game Labs for providing me an early digital copy. We're going to go over our first impressions and cover kind of what's in each section without going too deep. And when I say we, it's because I'm being joined today by friend of the show, Zimmer from the Valhalla Club podcast. Zimmer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Really psyched for Gen Con. Got off for work just to like really enjoy my time.
Yeah. I've been watching the live streams as much as I can as well. So it is actually the first day of Gen Con for a lot of people. Or maybe it's not technically the first. I don't know. Everyone we know is there. Not everyone, but a lot of people. it is the first day. What am I saying? They were having the day one stream on the website, on YouTube for Catalyst Game Labs. We will briefly mention that, but we're not going to talk about that just yet, because we'll have a Gen Con show later. But right now, Zimmer and I are going to, like I said, we're covering the core rulebook today. It is incredible. I'm very excited for it. And we're going to talk about that. But before we do, was there anything that was mentioned in the Gen Con stuff today that you're excited about, Zimmer?
Besides, you know, Gen Con this year, we have the release of the core rulebook, the new core box set. That's incredibly exciting. There's been other news, such as platforms like the Mech Bay and Mega Mech will be either have already adopted the core rule set or are planning to soon. As well as we have some returning things. The Battletech website is back.
Yes, it is.
It was kind of a surprise. I think they just launched it, you know, as we speak this morning. So that's kind of cool. Do you want to show folks what that looks like now? Because it definitely looks a lot different.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm switching over to the presentation. If you are watching on YouTube or watching on Spotify, you can watch a video there as well. This is available on youtube.com/@MercenaryStarPodcast. You can find us there. Like I said, you can search for the Mercenary Star Podcast on Spotify as well. So wherever you're watching it, you're going to want to look at this because we're going to show off the core rulebook a little bit. We're going to show off the website right now, which we are doing. And we're just going to talk about it real quick because they revamped the website. How long has it been down, Zimmer?
I could not tell you, but it's been down for at least long a month. Enough. Yeah. It's been gone long enough that people have definitely felt it and noticed it. Folks who regularly use it and check it out.
Yeah, I know it's been at least a month. And what's funny is that I don't know if it was an interview or if I heard through the grapevine that they actually had a problem with the website. And then when they got it back, that's when they were like, well, we were going to revamp it anyway. Let's go ahead and like keep it down or something like that. So maybe I'm making that up. I don't know. But it was down. It said coming soon for over a month. But here it is. We have it here. I think it looks good. I think it's nice and simple. It doesn't look like it was made in the early 2000s. It has
Ain't that right?
It has a great context menu up at the top for home, news. It says play. There's fiction and fiction archive. There's a shrapnel section, which literally lists all the shrapnels with cover art and then like kind of the stuff that's in it. also where you can buy it. There's a section for the forums. There is the shop button. We'll take you to Catalyst Game Lab's website. There is a download section, and this is a very important section because this honestly was one of the things that a lot of people were missing while the website was down, was the download section. And
yeah, I remember there have been a few questions in the Valhalla Club server, people looking for quick start rules and whatnot, and for a short amount of time, like, it was unfortunately unavailable. So
yeah, some it was other who folks had it downloaded that they could share. But they have all of the quick start rules. So beginner box is front and center. They've got the Time of War, Alpha Strike. They even have the Battle Force quick start rules. There's the essential, all of the rule books from the boxes as well. So the Essentials box, the Mercenaries rule book, the Chaos Campaign, the Game of Armored Combat, the Alpha Strike box. All of the box sets are here, but not just that, Zimmer. All of the Force packs, all of the record sheets from the Force packs are here. They're clearly marked with images as well, which is great. Somerset Strikers, all of the clan ones, the Third Star League, goes on and on. Even the Shrapnel pack record sheets. So like all of the mechs and variants that were in Shrapnel from the first year are compiled, and second year.
Yeah. I think this is just great because, like, with these box sets, right, you get the Alpha Strike cards in them because, well, they fit, they simply easily fit within the boxes that they come in. But I'm scrolling through here and just looking at the Davian Force pack, right? One PDF, you got all variants that come in those two boxes so far. And it's just the variants that you get the Alpha Strike cards for. So the Legionnaire is the one I'm going to pick on. There's two variants of it. Both of them have a targeting computer. One has an ERPPC. One has a Rack 5 on it.
Yeah.
And in that box, you have bits to either put a Rack or a PPC on it. So it's like, right here's your record sheet. Certainly there are more variants of the mech that you can run. And it has been announced that it's going to be added to the MUL 2.0.
Yes. Which is going to be great.
It is coming. We don't have it right at this moment, but it is just about around the corner. Last I heard, it is just about ready for release. It's, you know, feature complete. For what they want for the re-release, for the 2.0 release, I should say.
I think it'll coincide with when all of the core products are out. So probably like end of September. That's my guess. End of September.
You're saying when the core box comes to general retail?
Right. I think that's when the MUL 2.0 hits.
I think that's certainly what they're trying to shoot for. What CGL is shooting for.
Yeah. Other things on the webs, on the downloads, are maps. Hex maps for things. And all the rules for some of the map packs, right? So the Alien Worlds had some special rules. You can get those there. They do have some Gothic stuff. They have the Aces map grids and stuff like that. It's a full page of things to look at. So definitely go check that out.
If you're interested, just check it out for yourself. Go through each of the sections. You know, there's the fiction archive, all this different stuff. Check it out yourself if you're at all interested. You know, it's literally battletech.com. You cannot find it any easier.
Yeah. I love this. They're on the fiction side because I'm a fiction guy. Stories make games feel real, right? And it says good, better, and best. Mm-hmm. And it's like talking about how the games are cinematic in such a way and kind of giving some examples. There's a new there's a new free fiction called Front and Center by James D. Long. Make sure you go check that out. I think that's the free entry point, at least the first one. I have not read it yet. But yeah, the fiction, it gives all the information on the mercenaries, clans, inner sphere. I'm excited to go through all that. Under play, it definitely has all the information. There's another quick start PDF. It came out when the first blind boxes came out.
Okay.
And the original PDF had all of the half record sheets from Clan Invasion Kickstarter. So, because you know, in the beginner boxes, they give those half record sheets.
Yes.
Unfortunately, this one, they took it away. DGL, if you are listening, please put that back in there. That was awesome. And I know you don't want to confuse people with having half record sheets and whole record sheets and Alpha Strike cards, but having the half record sheets for 110 mechs gives people who are trying to learn at the basic level a really good way to learn Classic, I think. And you already had it. I mean, like, I have the PDF and I've given it to some people as well. It was a free download, but unfortunately they took that out. So it only has the mechs from the beginner box and in the ones that they had in there for like the standees, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes. The cardboard.
Yeah. And then it does have the print and play though. Map sheet and standees. So that is one thing. If you have not bought any Battletech and you're very interested in it, especially with the introduction of these new core rules, now is the time. You can download this for free. All it costs you is however much it costs you to print off several sheets of paper. And you can.
And you want to know, life hack real quick.
Yeah.
If you have a local library, stop in with them. Oftentimes they'll let
Absolutely.
You print stuff for free. It probably will not be in color, but free is free.
Maybe it will. Who knows? Color copies aren't that expensive though. I mean, I went and I got two color copies and it was like 85 cents. It's
like, yeah, I just want, don't, you know, let's bring down the expectations for free stuff.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I agree though. That is an excellent resource though for printing Battletech stuff, especially because all of these PDFs on these downloads are free. You can print them. They're game aids, even they expect you to print them. So
yes. And another thing, while you're at the library, just ask them about Battletech. I have been hearing
some Battletech books.
I have been hearing some local libraries, not only are they carrying the fiction, but they're also carrying like the game books. That you can rent out. Like that is a thing some libraries are doing because they do want people to come in. They want you to be reading. They want you to be interacting.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. You know, your local library. I know when I got out of the school, like, you know, I didn't think much of it, but then, you know, I live with two young kids. It's incredible how libraries have adapted from what I remember them.
Yeah. No, there's a lot more resources in libraries these days, so definitely check that out. Lastly, about the website, if you've made it this far, thank you. We are going to talk about the core rulebook momentarily. I will have chapters, so you can skip this talk. But there was also, from Gen Con, this will be the only thing I talk about right this second, is that they announced a partnership with Lorescape for a modular hexed tile 3D terrain.
Yeah, it's just it's like the old HeroScape tiles, right?
Very similar,
but I don't even know if it's actually going to be reverse compatible, but in material, like,
I don't know.
What I've heard is they have like UV printing on them, so they're like scratch resistant as well. Like, that was my first worry about it, is like, oh man, am I going to put like, maybe not the plastic miniatures, but like certainly some of my mechs now are in pewter. So it's like,
Yeah, they'll scratch
Am I gonna have
for
to,
sure.
am I gonna have to worry about scratching? No. The new product, from what I've heard, it looks great in person, like looks incredible in person.
Yeah.
And is probably going to stand the test of time just with the techniques they're using to make this happen.
And I don't think this is going to be for everybody. I don't think that it's going to be for people who want to have kind of detailed, accurate 3D terrain, you know, or maybe they have Alpha Strike terrain that they also want to use for Classic. I don't think it's going to be
I
that. I
think.
don't think it's going to be for people who want to use the Hextech terrain, you know. I think what it is going to be is going to be like, hey, I want to play with DGL or FASA map sheets, and I want to be able to quickly rearrange these you know hex hills to map to match what is on my map. Because that's the thing, is that you'll get basically a certain number of those you know hex tiles that you just snap together like puzzle pieces, and then you can create level one, level two. And I've you know saw some people being like, well, they're not like true level one, like they're not the true half height of a mech. And one,
That's
I think
true, but
that's yeah, I think it's true, but I think the counterpoint to that is, one, mech height is a little subjective, because a lo it could be half the height of a Locust or a Stinger, but it may not
I
be half the height
think
of an Atlas. And I think that it's not, I think that obviously in classic Battletech, true LOS doesn't matter. And so I think that's one of the reasons that
yeah.
this is fine.
It is a visual aid. So like when you're
Yes.
playing some of those wacky canyon maps where you have like a level four next to a level one, you remember, oh, there's like supposed to be a little ramp here. Like I can't just walk across that. 'Cause like
Yeah.
so many times I've come across that when you're looking at a flat surface, you don't notice the elevation change nearly as much detail. But also, if you have a problem with the hills being too short, just buy double the hexes and just double them up, right? Like,
Well, then it might
this
be
is.
too tall. I'm not sure, you know, how high they are. If two
I
makes it even or not.
remember playing with similar terrain in the past, HeroScape, and playing classic Battletech on that. And that's the solution we use, like to
Gotcha.
have like the height we wanted. We just stacked like two layers on top of each other,
Yeah.
and it worked well for us. I feel if you feel like the hills are too short, just double up the hexes. If
Yeah.
you don't care, then don't worry about it. Just play with single levels. I think single levels work just as fine, you know. Because it
Yeah.
does give the visual reference.
Without
Also, if
having to be
anybody wants
exact.
to, yeah, if anybody really wants to be a stickler, you can also remind them, hey, that hex is supposed to be 30 meters across. Your battle mech should be like the size,
Right.
like smaller than a pea on that hex. Like, come on. Let's
Yeah.
get real here.
You know, it is what it is. It's fine. But
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be for people who, like I said, they don't want to, you know, maybe they don't want to get into 3D printing, so they don't want to, you know, it's in probably the cheapest option for 3D terrain is to, you know, be able to 3D print or have someone 3D print some of that Hextech terrain or something. Or you can buy it, you know, and those are all third party. There's lots of other terrain companies out there who sell great terrain. But I think that if you, one, if you're sticking to just CGL products, then this is obviously one of your best options. And then two, again, I think the ability to very quickly change up hills, like if you have a different map, right? I have a different paper map and
Yes.
I have these tiles. Maybe they don't match exactly, but I have enough to make all the hills that are on this map sheet. You know, you can do that. And again, it's just that visual representation. True LOS doesn't matter, but we'll talk about LOS in just a little bit. But yeah, let's get into also, that's going to be a Kickstarter. It is not a CGL Kickstarter. It is a Lorescape Kickstarter. And they've actually had one successful already, and they're in the middle of fulfilling that. But this is just a partnership with CGL. So, okay. I think it's time, Zimmer. We move on to the main event.
The BattleTech
4 rulebook. Guys, this is a little controversial in that there's people out there who are, you know, they want to decry this as a huge shift in rules. Having read through it, having read through, you know, some of the rule change documents, when they're doing the playtesting, this is not as big of a shift away as a lot of people think. I think there's a little bit of overreaction. And, you know, that said, if you don't like it, you don't have to play it. And that is completely fine. I think that is perfectly acceptable. And a lot of this, like 95-98% of this, still works with Total Warfare. You know, there are rule changes that we are going to talk about in another episode because Brent from Of Mechs and Men wants to be present for that, and he's at Gen Con right now. But I figured we had to have enough to talk about today, just covering our impressions, having a quick first look at this document. When we get to the rule change document, I will have a physical copy by then. I have a very gracious friend, Seneca, who has shipped some of those core products to me from Gen Con. So,
yeah, like he literally bought it this morning.
He literally bought it this morning.
Post office.
Actually, I think he got it last night because the demo agents got access last night.
Right. Okay.
You know, perks of being a demo agent. But anyway, he sent that to me. What I will say is that I did not expect to have them as quickly as he's sending them. So I am pumped to even have them by hopefully this weekend. So, and when I do get that, I will do some unboxing quick videos for the YouTube channel. But let's look at the document, shall we? First of all, the core rulebook, the new art, it's been, you know, many people have talked about it. The Regent is covering the cover of the core rulebook. I like the Regent as a mech. I also think that it is going to be a great poster mech for the current era, at least for a little bit. You know, whether we get something else. I mean, the Atlas has been there for a while. You know, the Warhammer and the Timberwolf have had their time. I like having a shift to something new. I'm also excited to be more into the Ill-Clan era, but we'll talk about that in a minute. How do you feel about the Regent?
I do have feelings about the Regent. Look at it and I cannot help think, like, this is the weird love child of an awesome and a hunchback, especially. I think this is the prime variant here, right? You got that
it's
big
the,
gun.
The Hopman, I think, is what it's supposed to be. Kind of the combination of the Hopman and the awesome.
The Hopman. I'm unfortunately, I'm not particular. Is that the dude who has the cigar laser?
Yes.
In his mouth.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he has the giant autocannon like a hunchback.
Yes.
So you know it. Same kind of styling. You still have that giant
right.
Over the shoulder autocannon, and I think it's great. But yes, the Hotman was big inspiration for it.
It definitely looks like the awesome has like slimmed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
the shoulder plates are smaller. The torso itself is like slimmed down a little bit. The laser weapons, it doesn't have three PPCs, at least not the variant you see on this cover.
Yeah.
But hey, look in your core box.
The core
you
box
might find something.
Does have the variant with three PPCs. So
it does.
Because it is an Omnimech. It is an Omnimech. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. The cover art is fantastic. I love it. But one of the things that's great is in this document and in the core rule book. Hey, first page is a throwback to the 3050 TRO with the Timberwolf on the cover with the desert camo and the ghost bear symbol on the side of it. So, you know, we get to see, I love getting to see that art there. That's fantastic.
When you saw it, were you blinded by its majesty?
I was. I really was. You know, that was definitely my era. I loved the Succession Wars, don't get me wrong. But I started playing BattleTech in like 89, 90. And so I was, you know, a 10, 11, 12-year-old going through, like, living the clan invasion in real time. And it was incredible. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So the table of contents, we're going to kind of get into it. We're going to, first of all, I have to say, I love the design of the pages in this new book. It's a lot cleaner than Total Warfare or even the Battle Mech Manual. The pages are easier to read because the background is not as busy. You know, in those old books, they tried to use this like colored background that was like reminding.
They watermarked the pages.
Well, and they're watermarked here, but it's way less intrusive.
Yeah.
So
you know what? Yeah, I am just noticing there is that little grid pattern in the pack, yeah. But it's so subtle, like you don't register right away.
No, it's like triangles that form hexes, and I like it. So I'm also a graphic design nerd, though. I do quite a bit of that for my own stuff, and then also for friends in the community.
Naturally,
right. But yeah, the table of contents, one, is very well laid out, and they have color-coded all the sections, the major sections. And I love this, and we're going to talk about this as we go through it. But each color-coded section has, you know, a very well laid out portion of the rules. Unlike Total Warfare or Battle Mech Manual, if there is a reference to one rule, if it will then, rather than force you to flip back and forth, it'll give you the relevant information you need right there in this book. And that is fantastic. You don't have to do nearly as much flipping back and forth.
I am so thankful for the color coding because, like, my stupid lizard brain just sometimes in the heat of the moment in the middle of a game, just like I cannot find information. But when it's done so nicely in different colors, and like there is a purpose to the colors as well, right?
Yes.
If you get familiar enough with this book, you recognize blue and it's like, oh, that's the Steiner section. I need to go to the Steiner section. Like, that's the beginning of the book.
Yeah, that's the introduction. It has all of the things we need. And let's just start talking about that. So
we'll just start going through it.
Speaking of throwbacks. Yeah, go ahead.
If you keep on scrolling through, the next bit of art we see is the Warhammer 2C.
Yes.
That's also a throwback.
Yeah.
And like, dang, that is so beautifully rendered. Like,
it is. And wow. Obviously this is a 2-page spread for the one piece of like serialized fiction that's in here. Maybe not serialized, that's not the right word. But it's the one story that's included here.
Yeah.
It's by, who wrote it? I'm trying to remember now.
It was Jason Schmetzer.
Oh yeah, Schmetzer. He's great. Love him.
I apologize. I stumbled through his name.
No, you're fine. But yeah, it's called Unequal Numbers. That's the story. It's happening in the Wolf Empire in 3152, because again, the core products are launching the Ill Clan era officially, kind of. I'm not going to show off all of that real quick. I'm going to pass it real quick, but there's some good art there as well.
But this is the only bit of short fiction we really get in here, correct?
It is, yes. It's the only bit of short fiction. So in the past books, you would sometimes get one at the beginning of each section. They're not doing that. They're like, you know what? We've got fiction in other places. This is for the rules. And honestly, at 275 pages approximately, they don't have room for it.
Yeah.
So the first, the I love this Warhammer, like the actual Warhammer for the introduction page. Mm-hmm. Also includes the information is ammunition quote by Adam Steiner, which is great because, like we said, blue, the introduction, one thing that they are doing with each of these sections is that each of these sections has a lore, has, you know, several lore sidebars. And in those lore sidebars, there is at least one faction mentioned, and sometimes then there'll be a like major event from the universe. So, for instance, in the introduction, we have all of the like TGL does a great job of introducing you to everything Battletech. So we talk about factions, we talk about this core rulebook is one item among many, and that if you want something to go with it, the core box is going to be the great one item to get with it to go to complete it. And then obviously you're going to love it, so you're going to want to get more. But one thing I will say, there is, and I have it highlighted if you're watching, there is a link in here under this section called Your Story. No, it's not live yet, but it's going to have some interesting questions to kind of help you maybe identify stories that you'd like to read in the Battletech setting. And I mentioned earlier, but I feel like part of me hopes that it's like kind of like the Harry Potter questionnaire to like figure out what house you are part of. I think that would be kind of fun. But there's also a bunch of information about the style of play. And then on, you know, this page here, there's a showing off a new era. And these are these lore sidebars that you get to see. And so you'll see them as you go through. Again, this intro has all the things you need to know about source books, rule books, force packs, map packs, battle mats, TROs, even so much as going down to, which, you know, then there's the House Steiner one there. Even so much as talking about camo specs online, where to go to learn how to paint, which I think is great. You know, where to get decals or paints, Ironwind medals, even talks about the computer games. And Zimmer, I think you saw it which ones it mentions.
Yeah, so I'll chime in here. They mention Harebrained Schemes Battletech, which was, you know, that strategy game that was released years ago. Great game. As well as they immediately reference MechWarrior 5 Clans. Initially, I had flared with the idea. It's like, why are they adding it to the book here? Like, are they possibly maybe going to try to like canonize parts of these games? Because like, it's all apocryphal, right? It's not
right
official canon, but crazier things have happened. We know with Harebrained Schemes Battletech, the Reach, right? That's so featured in there. The whole conflict is set in the space between the Taurian Concordat and the Magistery of Canopus. Like,
yeah,
that has now been canonized that, like, hey, those guys are still around even into the Ill Clan era, because like, yeah, we've seen their trading ships. So it's absolutely like those guys, we don't know what's happening necessarily, but at least, you know, if they're trading with folks, they ain't dead. So that's good news for people who are fans of those games. I don't think this means we're going to be seeing like the canonization of the Sibcoe from MechWarrior 5 Clans.
I think that's so.
Maybe a, yeah, that feels like a bridge too far. Like, there's just been so much precedent with the video games like not becoming canon, like Harebrained Schemes, that was an oddity.
Well, I think because it was Jordan Wiseman is probably why it was the exception. I think Jordan Wiseman having his hand in the harebrained schemes, that was probably what lent it more credence to be part of the canon. Now, that said, them just saying, hey, this is where you can find Battletech. You can find it at all these places. And that's great.
Yes.
Also on page 19 of the book, it shows the lore sidebars, and it's a table of contents for the lore sidebars. This is one of the favorite things of mine, because in all of the other source books, you have all these lore sidebars. They're all throughout those books. But unless you know where they are and what they contain, you don't really have a way to find them. This straight up gives you the table of contents for them and what pages they're on, and I love that. So,
yep.
Just kind of showing it on the video there, but it's pretty fantastic.
Yep, and just past page 19, you have a breakdown, like a brief summary of each of the eras. Something interesting I found reading through these is it does mention, hey, the Secession Wars. Within the Secession Wars, you have MechWarrior 5 mercenaries taking place during this time, and Harebrained Schemes Battletech. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty cool if you're interested in those settings. And it also gives like context for anybody who has played those games and they are entering the tabletop, and maybe the core rule book is the first rule book they picked up since trying out MechWarrior Online, trying Mercs or Clans.
That's a great point.
This could be their entry point, and now they're like, oh, this is where it is. They can see, oh, Mercenaries was set in like 3015. We're almost 140 years in the future in the Ilclan era. There's probably some stuff I missed.
Newsflash, there is. There's so much lore.
just a couple things.
But that's what happens when you have 42 years almost of a game. So
real life,
real life development. 42 years. No, I do love the era sections because it shows the maps, has a great description of overview of what's happening there. And so it talks about the eras especially. And then there is a big map that shows the Inner Sphere in 3152. And one of the things that I love that it does, one, again, color codes all the factions that are on the map, which is great, but it shows you where some of the other source books are taking place. That, you know, Tamar Rising and Hotspot's Hinterlands are in the, you know, upper left quadrant when looking at the page. Empire Alone is in the bottom right or bottom middle. You've got Dominions Divided and Hotspot's Draconis Reach. And Ilclan's Eyes Only. And so there, it also gives breakdowns of the factions as well, which is pretty awesome. So, that's all within the introduction. And, you know, talks about there's a page on the Hinterlands specifically, talking about all the things going on there, because there's, you know, a lot. Last thing in here in the introduction is just some cool pages that give like a breakdown of military unit organization in the Inner Sphere. So Lance, Company, Battalion, all the way on up, for the Inner Sphere, and then, you know, Point, Star, Trinary, Binary, Cluster, Galaxy, all the way on up for the Clans. And that's pretty awesome.
What about the level twos?
It does have that, actually. Yeah.
No, it does have that.
Yeah, it does. So there's a little pop out, standard Comstar, Word of Blake, military organization, level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So
praise Blake. It's there.
It's
all right.
It is a small footnote on the Clan section. So
it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, Comstar and the Word of Blake never did anything. Worth mentioning.
Nah.
But I do want to point out before we leave, because this is all the Steiner section, right? All the previous pages have all had blue borders.
Yes.
Now going into the next section, we enter the Capellan realm, and now we have green borders. This is going to make it so easy, again, for people who have the lizard brain like I do, who can't who kind of get lost. It's like, oh, I need to go to the Steiner section, the Capellan section. I just got to look for the page colors. Then I know roughly where I'm at. And then these sections are pretty tight that even if you just have to flip through a few pages, you're finding stuff so much quicker. A Time of War, I admittedly played so little Time of War because the book scared me. Like, I could not find rules to save my butt.
Yeah.
I had to learn that game the hard way just through trial and error in Mega Mech. And learning is a very strong word for what I have done to understand Time of War.
And another thing to mention, too, not just are all the pages color-coded for the sections, but all the tables within those sections are also color-coded to their color, so blue or, you know, green as we get into how to play. And what's great is even in later sections, if a table is from that, you know, earlier section, it will still be color-coded. So in when we get into combat and we have like the cluster hit table, it's red because it's in the Karita section, which is combat. That table will be red everywhere you see it in the book. So I love that as well, because then it also says, okay, this is a red table. I should probably look at the combat section because maybe I don't understand everything on the table or something. So
incredible.
Yeah. Okay. So playing the game is the second section. And this is, like you said, green for the Capellans. Okay. So immediately, we get, you know, playing the game, and I love this immediately introduction to BattleTech specific game terms. What is a mech? What's a quad mech? What is an omni mech? What are assets? What are, what's BV or battle value or movement points or a target? You know, obviously there's the House Liao fiction sidebar as well. But all of these things, target movement modifier, all of these things are defined immediately at the beginning of how to, you know, playing the game. And that's great.
Yep.
Components, you know, breaking down a mech record sheet, guys, that is big. Having it on there is fantastic, and explaining what each section of the mech record sheet is. Just there's a lot here, you know, gameplay sequence, like the initiative, all that stuff is there. You know, gunnery, piloting skill, stuff like that. But while we're on the basics. Yeah.
Yeah. While we're on this page 37, I had mentioned I love seeing art of people within the setting. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I've seen this gal too many times.
No, I get it. I get it. We talked earlier. Yeah, we want to see, you know, mech warriors from, like, it'd be great if we had a mech warrior image like this for all the factions that are in the book. Or if it wasn't a mech warrior, maybe one's a tanker or one's a tech or something. Aerospace pilot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Like, what is crazy, right, is, like, we do have uniforms for all these people, and it does get drawn from time to time. And even in, like, modern times, I'll say, like, as recent as MechWarrior Clans, right, for one of their DLCs, they borrowed heavily from the old source books to see, like, what does a clanner uniform look like? Mm-hmm. And, like, those uniforms, they look good. look good. I just wish we had more art, you know, more regular art as of late. I do know, I can't remember what art piece it was in particular, but it was said by the folks at CGL, like, when they had commissioned the art, it was so funny. They wanted the mech warrior standing on top of their mech, and, like, the artist's knee-jerk reaction was to do, like, oh, yeah, like, dude standing in his underwear wearing a coolant vest. Because, like, unfortunately, that's kind of the image you get in your mind, because, you know, the old classic art.
During the Succession Wars, technology had gotten so bad that they didn't have the advanced cooling suits and stuff. And yeah, they had a vest. Sure. And then in order to stay cool in the cockpit, you pretty much were down to your skivvies, right?
Yeah, I mean, even...
dating myself saying skivvies, but... I mean, that's beyond me, but, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I anyway, think having the suits and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but the final art, the Mech Warrior was actually done in their uniform, like their mm-hmm. full uniform, because CGL is trying to get away from that stereotype of just people standing around in their underwear. Because
well,
it is
that's only
of...
Mech Warriors, really, right? I mean, like, the tankers weren't usually doing that. You know, techs and all the other people working on stuff obviously are in uniform, coveralls, stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of fun, interesting.
You might have like the
uniforms
the
out
odd dude sitting there in like a white shirt because it's an arid planet or something. Yeah. But I will say, she isn't the only person we're going to see in this book. There are plenty of other folks who are actually doing things, and this is like some of my favorite art in the book, is like vignettes with, you know, the center of the attention is a vehicle or a mech, but you do have like people existing in the space. Like shortly after, like right after that picture, you see the Vindicator firing a PPC and there's three dudes on the ground scrambling.
Oh yeah.
Like that, that's great. That's great. I love to see it. It really gives a sense of scale.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that BattleTech does really well, is making the inner sphere and the universe feel lived in. So, but yeah, the last thing for this, you know, playing the game section, and we're not going to cover this in detail right now, because this is going to be one of those kind of like rules discussions for later, but there are some great tables for visualizing unequal number of units when dealing with initiative. So just again, making it easier by telling you exactly what, you know, who moves what, who moves when. And so, yeah, I think that's helpful. You know, I think there's a lot of things in here that are practical and helpful.
Yeah. And this is a change from in the past. This is the new front loaded initiative. Like, this is now a,
well, they just reversed rule. They just reversed the optional rule and the standard rule, basically. So, because it was always an optional rule, but yeah,
it was an optional rule. But
we'll
just
talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we go into movement, and we have a great. The next section is movement. It is the House Davion section, and I do love that it's like showing some like fast moving like a mech and some vehicles, which is great. But yeah, we've got the House Davion, and immediately I do love that it shows, you know, visualization of the white, black, and red dice, right? That is most commonly used for you know, walking, running, and jumping. So
I still talks can't about get over all of like, that. The only sets of dice I can find, like they have the weird color combinations, like the white, blue, and yellow, or some odd combination that is just like, why?
Yeah,
I know. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that they're putting their foot down. They're like, hey, yo, this is what we like to use. You know,
right?
White, black, red. I will still always use like a transparent red or orange, but you know,
right. It's going to be close at least. No, I don't remember who I bought it from. But I know there's been some people, some of the shops have had, they have made custom packs basically of like the small dice where it's like white, red, black, and yellow. 'Cause yellow is for sprinting, which, is
used
in
Alpha
here
Strike.
Well, it's used in Alpha Strike, but it's also, it, you know, you can also do it in Classic optionally, and I think that it's in here, even though even though like skidding isn't, but again, that's a rules discussion. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, in the movement,
we'll talk about it later.
In the movement, we've got walking, running, jumping, obviously the basics of it, facing, terrain and level changes. There's some great, you know, great images there. And then, you know, just the different terrain types. And then it does have the movement cost table. So, you know, having all that there is pretty great. And then, like I said, too, that's one of those things that you will see later on. And it's color-coded yellow, even later on, you know, in the book, because it's from the movement section. So I do love that. I do love that a lot. So, but yeah, there's movement. There's some of the rules discussions we'll have later. We'll spend some time in here. You know, because obviously there are some changes to movement slightly. And again, like being able to talk about like, how many movement points it takes to go where. There's some really great visualizations for movement.
Yeah, as we're going through here, I'm looking on page 53. There's still some incredibly beautiful painted miniatures thrown in here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's some of the new sculpts that we're supposed to get with
Snowblind.
Snowblind, yeah, actually. So there's some clan
Nova
from Snowblind.
Yeah, is that the Nova Cat B? I think it's the
I
B
don't
model,
remember but... which one it is, yeah. And I know that's the Timberwolf A. At least I'm pretty sure.
If only Brent was here. He knows. He knows his Nova Cats very well.
Yeah. Such a Nova Cat. yeah. The other thing that's there in the movement section is which aren't exactly movement, but kind of movement adjacent are hidden units. And then tag designation, like for using tag. So the rules for there in the movement as well. But then moving on to combat. You know, the main, you know, meat of the subject, right? Combat. What is one mech warrior's life when weighed against the glory of victory? A Takashi Kurita quote there. And because combat is the Draconis Combine section, so it is all red. And we get everything from the Declaration of Order to Line of Sight. There's a lot of Line of Sight talk, which is great. And I do appreciate the visualizations in this new book for Line of Sight in Classic. Because I think that's one of the things that some people would struggle with. I don't know. I picked it up somehow easily. But, and even some friends that I introduced to it recently were able to understand it and were even correcting me in our game a little bit, like, oh no, that is right. I was like, oh no, you're right. So, because they were reading the book. So, but yeah, it's great.
I do like on page
great,
58,
great visualizations.
The visuals for how woods work, because like this comes up so many times.
Yeah,
because it's like
this one is important right here. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's so important because like that, I've played with much more veteran players in Classic, and like woods still trip them up. But having this nice visual is very handy.
Yeah, those are great. Firing arcs are in here as well. Torso twisting, all of the attack stuff, forward, left, right. Gator, you know, how to do that. Like I said, all your standard rules for it are here. The only other thing that I would want to show is I don't want to show everything, so forgive me, CGL, but... There are
and viewers.
There are a really good visualization of range, which I thought was pretty great. So minimum range, short, medium, and long. And then also There are, you know, there's the attack modifier tables and stuff, but then there's the, scrolling down to it here, skipping some stuff. There are the hit location table has a new visualization as well. It's nothing has changed. If those of you who are really upset about the playtesting that went on, that didn't happen. It is still your normal center, you know, center toward or front and rear and left side and right side, but they have a really good graphic. And in fact, in the core box, there is a nice almost 3x5 card of that graphic with the cluster hit table on the back, and it's all the clusters possible, which is pretty great. So,
yep.
Physical attacks and everything are there as well. And yeah, it's there's obviously this is like one of the major biggest sections in the book. So I'm not going to talk through everything. And again, any of those rules that we want to get to later,
yeah,
we will talk about them later as well.
And I think we might skip the next section as well. The Merrick section discusses damage. This is good information all to have. This is also going to include some of the rules that were tested in the playtest. But I mean, the only thing I want to point out is like
extra. Yeah, go ahead.
There's one battle mech who's just been cleaved in half, and he's just like a smoking pair of legs.
Oh, in the images.
96. Yeah.
Gotcha.
just.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like an actual physical mini.
Yeah, it's a physical mini.
Somebody modded
a
mini. Yeah. That's great. So
I guess they might have had like an extra pair of legs or something.
I guess they could have. So yeah, that's gonna be great. But yeah, there's not a lot. There's some great visuals for doing that. So
yep.
But that's damage, and that's House Merrick. Yeah, so moving on to the next section is heat, and we won't really cover it much here. There's not a lot that's changed in heat. Yeah.
Is the Clan Wolf section.
Ahead.
So
it is.
This is the Clan Wolf section. We know it's the favorite, but we're just gonna kind of gloss through it, man.
Yeah, the only thing that I'll highlight is there's a good heat table. That color codes the different types of effects for heat. So movement, ranged attacks, shutdowns, and ammunition. And so I do like that it has that kind of easy to see, like where each of those are on the heat scale. So,
maybe if you're colorblind, but
I mean, I guess that's true. Then you're just going to have to get used to it, I guess. So
my condolences then.
yeah, I'm sorry. So,
the only other part I'm going to point out again, just incredible art. You got one mech warrior pulling another dude out of some burning wreckage. Like,
yeah,
that's
pretty great. Yeah, that's pretty great. And that's even an older picture, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, then there's other actions is the next section, and there's not a lot to show off there. This is the Clan Ghost Bear / Rosselhag Dominion section.
Yeah.
And you've got another great picture of the Warhammer 2C, which is fantastic.
You are going to find the piling skill roll table, which has changed from a game of armor combat, but we'll talk about that in another video.
Absolutely. That's for the next video where we talk about the core rules. But it does have all the tables that you need there, which is great. You know, it talks about the Dominion, which is the Ill Clan iteration of Clan Ghostbear and Rosselhag combined. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You have falls listed in here, damage to mech warriors. So like,
yeah. That's great. I love that. All that stuff. The next section after that is the battlefield. And that, I think, is
which
probably one of the.
This
is the Third Star League. Again, whoa, an Ill-Clan era faction right here. Spoilers, there's a third Star League in the Ill-Clan era. If you don't know who it is, go read some books. but
I can't read.
You know. but no, this section has all of like the weather effects and the different types of terrain. I do like the graphics they have in here for the types of terrain, like clear, water, woods, sand, pavement, you know, rough, and gives a great example of what they all mean. And how they affect play, how they affect movement. Which again, movement rules are in this section, just like some of the rules from this section are in the movement section. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's that one. The next section is, there is some great art from, mercenary art of Wolf Dragoons in there as well. Fighting on misery, yep. The next section, though, is urban combat. And we're kind of going to gloss over this. This just has a section for rules for buildings, how they affect combat. So, section. Go ahead.
We did blow past it, but on 125, I just wanted to point out that's my favorite painted miniature in the book. They did a beautiful gladiator. Like with the snow and everything on it. Just like,
yeah, we'll show that off.
Chef's kiss, man.
Yeah, that is a great, great picture. Beautiful.
Wait, does it say Paula on the armor there?
I don't know. It
looks like there's a name there.
It kind of does, like right there.
Yeah, it's got like a unit number and then a name on it.
Oh yeah, that looks like it says Paula.
That's crazy. Just wow.
So,
all right, but anyway, as we were saying with the urban combat.
Yes, the urban combat is the mercenary section. There's some great descriptions of mercenaries, but again, not going too much into them because it's, you know, we've got the mercenaries force manual, that's what we're at now.
Yes, force manual.
Yeah, but one of the things that urban combat does, you know, has all the building types and how to play with them. It's great. It has turrets, rules for turrets in here as well, how they affect movement. And then it also talks about the hinterlands, because that's a big area where mercenaries are playing in the Ill-Clan era. So,
yeah, within the lore blurb.
Yeah. So, next section after that is a pretty big section, and it is the battlefield support. And again, this will be a little bit of a controversial section because some people are going to miss or be upset that there is not full vehicle and infantry rules in the new core rulebook. They are going to have full, you know, edited and expanded and revised rules for those coming later. But they introduced with the Mercenaries box set, and then even more in Hinterlands and the other books after, the idea of battlefield support, and that is how to play tanks and VTOLs on the table in Classic, but without having to use a full record sheet for each one. And it's only fitting that this is the Hell's Horses section.
it's got to be. What other lunatics are going to want
to
ride out there?
They love their tanks and everything else. But I do love that it gives like an example of the battlefield support card, which is similar to an Alpha Strike card. Same. Mm-hmm. And
very different from a Alpha Strike card, but yeah, it's just like
mechanically speaking. Yes. But the simplicity of it is very similar to an Alpha Strike card. Because you don't have full armor diagrams anymore. In fact, you don't even have armor diagrams like the Alpha Strike cards.
Yeah, instead you have this weird thing, a destruction check. Like, how does that work? Well, read the book. It'll tell you.
Well, read the
Honestly,
book.
I think it's tons of fun playing with the battlefield support vehicles. I've been doing it quite a bit with I mean, the first time I tried it was with the Bungle Tech campaign.
Oh,
This
yeah.
is going back last year. That you helped make that happen with the Bungle Tech group. I
Yeah.
know it's called the Global Campaign Initiative, but
No,
it's just Bungle Tech campaign.
I
Come
get it. I
on.
get it. It's easy.
But that was the first time I did BSPs. I really enjoyed it because there was a twist that we threw on it as well, where initially one of my players, because I ran multiple games because I'm crazy, I'm a madman. One of the players, they wanted to have like hero vehicles, so they were
Yeah.
playing like a bulldog tank with Time of War while also BSPs being on the field. It actually worked out pretty well. And I was
Yeah.
so stoked to hear today that like there are folks from Catalyst who also play it that way.
Yeah.
You know, most of their vehicles on the field are going to be BSPs, but like maybe they want a Manticore tank who's going to be like the hero
Yeah.
amongst the mechs on his force. And you want to
And I
give
think
him the
that's
full
the
breadth of the
idea.
rules.
I think that is 100% the idea. Because, we have in the IllClan era, we have named people like Calamity Kell. And she
Yes.
is a tank pilot, piloting, an awesome, what is it? Is it? It's not the Manticore. It's the something mech
It's
buster
like
or
the
something. I don't
S
remember. SM, oh, SM1.
is
SM1. My God. Anyway, yes. And
it's the
so you would.
SM1 Mech Buster Destroyer, something like that. It's a hovercraft
Yeah.
with a UAC-20 on it. Like
Awesome. So the idea is you would play her with a full record sheet, and then you would play all the others as battlefield support. Because they're not as important to the story. And so I do like that. I do like. In fact, if you are. I've had this discussion many times. BattleTech Classic is a much more a cinematic, story-driven game. More so than
Absolutely.
it is a competitive war game. Can it be competitive? Absolutely. Can you have tournaments with it? 100%. And it's great. But it was designed to be a little more cinematic. It was designed to tell stories with the dice rolls. And to me, that lends itself so much more into the narrative aspects, almost like a TTRPG light. And so I think having these battlefield support units be those NPCs, those minions, to use, RPG terms, they're not as good as the main characters. They're not as good. They're meant to die. They can still hit hard. They can still damage or kill the hero, but they're not meant to be the hero or villain in their own right. And so I think that's great.
Absolutely.
And I do love combined arms, the concept of it, because we're getting them in plastic now. I'm so stoked for that. I just want
Yeah, this.
CGL, and hopefully this will be in the MUL 2.0, is we need BSP cards. Printable, just like Alpha Strike
They
cards
are
for
coming.
everything.
They are
Yeah,
coming
they are
with
coming. And maybe they
MUL
won't be.
2.0.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's coming. We're going to get MUL 2.0 sometime this year. That's what's being said. The next feature they're adding to MUL is going to be
The BSPs.
battlefield support cars. Yes.
Which is great.
Also, I will always make the argument, right? Like, you play a game, you want to take an LRM carrier. What are you doing with that thing? He's going to the woods and he's going to just sit there the whole time. Like,
Right.
do you actually want to sit there and like pull out a Time of War? Like, or are you just going to let him sit in the woods and like take pot shots for you while you spot? Like,
Yeah.
BSPs is going to make that a lot more of a breeze than it would be just diving back into Time of War.
Yeah. Now it does also include.
I keep calling it Time of War.
It's not.
I gotta
catch
myself.
Total Warfare. Time of War is the RPG.
It's the RPG.
That's okay. This section does also include the BSP cards that people were familiar with from the first time they were introduced, which is like aerospace strafing, long-term artillery, you know, stuff like that. So I think that that's important to realize as well. And it does have the tables for all of that as well.
You don't even need cards for these. You could write it down.
Although it does come, you know, like if you have some of the box sets, they come with the cards. So that's been great.
Yeah. If you get the Mercenaries box set, I think you get all the BSPs.
Did the Alpha Strike box have them too? I feel like it did.
No. So the Alpha Strike box set, it did have Battlefield support, but it wasn't
BSPs.
Yeah, it was just the strikes, but it's like not the same thing, and I don't think they're costed the same way.
Probably not.
Also, I mean, it's Alpha Strike, so it's not going to like transition well to playing in Classic, because it's going to tell you like, hey, use a 2-inch template, and then you're scratching your head and like, but the hex is an inch and a half.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Battlefield support. I want to play with them so much more, and I'm excited for it. The next section is another Battlefield support section, but it is aerospace. And Brent is so happy about this because he loves his aerospace. I love the graphic here too. It is Raven Alliance, which is Snow Ravens plus the Outworld Alliance.
That's the Chippewa,
Sea Fox.
Right?
I think so.
I think it's a Chippewa, and I know for certain it's one of the we're getting two aerospace packs. No official release date released on them yet, but there's going to be an Intersphere pack, and then there's going to be a Clan Wolf pack.
Yeah.
I think it's Steiner and Wolf respectively, but Chippewas are in there. I love this aerospace fighter. I love how fat it is. Big boy.
When I think of aerospace, it's the first one I think of.
Yeah.
So, but they're fighting some Sea Fox mechs and tanks, which is pretty great.
That's a Bulldog and a Vedette. Oh, yeah. Not my poor Vedette.
The poor Vedettes, yeah. So,
you know what, though? I think that Vedette's going to make it, though. I don't know about the Bulldog. I think the Bulldog's
probably
cooked.
Not. Yeah. But like I said, this is the Raven Alliance section because they're all about aerospace. This is where we finally are getting the BSP for aerospace, and we get a preview of what those BSP cards are going to look like. I like that they are like the bright blue, like the sky, right? Like, hey, we realize these are not on the ground, so let's make them look different. And they are going to play different too. They have fuel. They have bombs or bomb section on the cards. And again, if you get the color cards, these are the high quality cards like the Alpha Strike cards that you can use dry erase on. So that's going to be, you know, something that these are going to be useful for. I have for not sure. fully read through these rules yet, but there is this engagement zone kind of like asset organization sheet. I think this is going to add some really interesting elements to it for sure. But this has all the rules that they were talking about. It has, you know, declaring actions, operating orders. This is the aerospace light rules, if you will. engagement modifiers. There's an example of how they're showing on the organization chart and the engagement. There's something about being on the line in the middle or up, you know, are they on the attack? Are they in the defense? Not sure.
Just so much information in here.
After
the aerospace section, we go back, we see the Walsh Dragoons with weapons and equipment. Now, I don't think we're going to go through this in detail now.
No, we're not. Because it's going to be like combat, it's probably one of the biggest sections, right? And there's a lot more information.
There's a lot more weapons in here. Like, I just, like, noticed immediately, right? There's an artillery section. Arrow 4 artillery missile launcher. Big, bold letters. Like, right there staring at you on page 182. Like, this is the core rule book. This is maybe what people are starting with. And already it's like, oh, missile batteries. Nice.
Yeah. Protomech autocannons, you know, rotary autocannons, flamer, you know, like I said, it goes through the full list. They're all there. Everything is there.
And there's a lot of stuff that in the past wouldn't have been considered like standard tech, but like we're moving into the Ilklan era. Like, this stuff is everywhere. Like,
it is.
A Streak LRM launcher? What? Like, I only played the video games. I only know of a Streak SRM launcher. Yeah. What does that mean?
PPC, capacitors, INARC, missile beacon, plasma weapons. There's even heavy and light plasma rifles now. You know,
just
there's
crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot. All the special munitions. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Like I said, this is a huge section that you definitely want to check out. But yeah, this is the Wolf Dragoons. So there's lots of data and tables and stats for the weapons, including physical weapons, even the odd physical weapons and the shields, talons, bikes. They're all here. You know, because
well,
obviously
maybe not
we've
like
got
actually all here, but there's a lot of stuff here.
Right.
You've got the classic Centurion. That's the only reason why I bring it up.
You got the classic Centurion with the shield, you know, which is you know, Yin Lo Wang in the modern era.
Oh, look at that. Oh, it's got the that's interesting. This is the art. I can't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but
That's the one that Deny Centrilla Liao. Who is basically the new wielder of Yin Lo Wang. Kai gifted it to her. She's supposed to be a hot pilot in it. So, but yeah, it's got like a MRM 30 or 40 or something in it. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. So,
yeah. We're still stuck on just the weapons. Like there's,
I know we're trying. Yeah.
Too. Like
D3. There's a great C3 table diagram with, I also love the painted yellow and white checkered mechs. I think those are, you know, some Dawn Guard, maybe. I don't remember where they are. Davion something.
I know Dawn Guard does have yellow and white. I don't know if those.
I know the checkered is throwing me off a little bit, but yeah, there is a lot. It's all here. You're gonna love it. So yeah, obviously anything that's equipment related. So now the next section where we have
missions.
Oh yes, the missions. And again, incredible artwork. This is the Sea Fox section.
Yeah.
Which I love. It is kind of the light gray blue. And I am so glad that they have this in here because it basically helps you set up missions. And it's way easier to understand than what was in Total Warfare or in the Chaos Campaign stuff. This is the culmination of the Mercenary Box set, the Hinterlands, and Draconis Reach. This is all of those things, you know, combined, which is great. So standard deployments, all sorts of complications, you know, what standard mission types, scale, force construction. The force construction is big, I feel like, especially once you start to play those cinematic storytelling games. Like yours earlier, this is my favorite painted mini in it. It's a grizzly or ghost bear. It just looks so good.
I almost called it the Rhyme Otter, but I knew that wasn't correct.
Nope, that's the baby grizzly.
It's the little, yeah, the little grizzly.
Yeah. But no, this is a great section, especially as a complete book, you know.
Actually, if we really wanted little grizzly, I need the bear cub. Like, I need...
That's true. That'll come.
The four.
That'll come, for sure.
Eventually, we'll get it.
Yeah. The next section is kind of the last section, and that is the appendices, or appendixes, however you want to say it, but it's appendices.
Appendix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I do love that the art for this section is Jamie Wolf versus Wayne Waco.
Wacky Waco, yeah.
Wacky Waco, yep. I like how the quote too. Fine, another merc to test. I just hope we eventually meet up with the Wacko Grangers or Rangers or whoever they are.
Or whatever
but
they are.
This section has some important things that were not in Total Warfare. Tripods. Okay? Tripods, quads. You know, super heavies. Super. You know, or because I don't think all of them are. And then I like this common misconceptions. And so I like how it gives a bunch of examples of how maybe some things, some rules have been bungled, if you will. And so
yeah,
I think
the very first one, yeah, rolling a 12 always succeeds, right?
No.
Like that's a crit. No? Oh,
nope.
Well.
Nope. This is not actually a full tabletop RPG. So, but no, it's a great. It is great. And so the also too, I like that these appendices here give a lot of good information. It's very clearly laid out. There's notes from the dev, about everything. Keith Hahn is the one who writes it. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the future and wrapping it up. Then we do get all of the tables and worksheets. So all of the weapons and equipment tables, record sheets, all of the organization type sheets, they're all here in the appendices, which is great because, it has battlefield tracking, all the BSP stuff, all the blank ones for you to copy and print off are here. There's also the mission worksheets, which are going to be great. The terrain types. I mean, again, almost all of those tables that were color coded throughout the book are here again, which is fantastic. So you can basically reference them in the back of the book rather than have to scroll through even those sections. So again, ease of use, the readability and the searchability of this book are fantastic.
Yeah.
Even having like tactics, explosive damage, right? So side by side with the tables from combat or tables from damage in purple. And this is what I'm talking about, the color coding is important. So that's all there. And then again, thankfully, the index, which is again making it very searchable, is actually at the back of the book. So,
yep. And just putting it out there, if you buy the book off of the Catalyst website or you get the PDF, like if you get the physical book through Catalyst, they'll give you the PDF. Or if you just buy the PDF itself, like these are very printable. You could sit there,
absolutely,
print these out and just have them for yourself. Like this very likely is going to be something I'm going to get on like nice solid paper, to have as game aids, just to have them handy.
Yeah. I will, I'm sure, be printing off a bunch of the, tables from the back to have. And if I don't put them in paper, then I'll just print them on, nice paper, and then I'll put them in, like, some of those sheet protectors. That way I can use, like, dry erase or wet erase on or whatever. So,
yep.
As we
well,
do.
I think this has been a joy to go through. Like, yeah. I am so excited for, like, this. It's weird to say, like, a new era for Catalyst, because, like, they've it really has felt like they've been stuck in the past, right, with a game of armor combat and everything else. It always felt like, man, they're still stuck back in the Secession or the Clan Wars. Like, it's weird when, like, my first exposure to BattleTech was MechWarrior Online and MechWarrior 5. Right. You know, MechWarrior 5 is set in the Secession Wars, but in MechWarrior Online, that's, like, firmly the Civil War. And there's, like, so much stuff going on there that you just like, wonder, it's, like, when's CGL going to catch up? And I think it's great that they are pushing forward with the Illclan era, with this new core rulebook, and just laying it out there that, like, yeah, this is where we want to play.
Yeah, I think that it's important for them to move forward. You know, personally, I like the Illclan era. It's probably quickly becoming my, I don't want to say favorite, but the one I'm most excited to play in. I think that there's still a special place for me for, you know, the Clan Invasion and the Civil War. But I like moving forward in the timeline. And I think that too, along with these core products, and this is something that they talked about in the live stream today on, you know, the day one Gen Con live stream, so go check it out. They talk about why they made the choice to go ahead and start using Illclan era tech in the starter box and the core box. And I think that it was, you know, it really comes down to the fact that anytime they're running events, and again, what they have seen. Anytime that they run events or they run grinders, they're using advanced tech and people are sitting down and they are figuring it out. They're learning it. They're not having trouble with advanced tech like different types of armor or ammo explosions or, you know, whatever. And one of the examples someone gave on the live stream today is that, like, even in intro tech, you have to learn what long-range missiles are. You have to learn what the minimum range for long-range missiles are. You have to learn the cluster spread for long and short-range missiles, how they do different damage. You know, there's still a lot to learn, and these advanced rules are really not that much different. You know, for me, when you're looking at a battle mech record sheet, It's a character sheet, like comparing it to a tabletop RPG. It is a character sheet, and TTRPGs, D&D is so popular these days, and people make characters all the time, even though they don't play, and they have 20 spells and, you know, 20 abilities, and they know all of these abilities. And so to have a mech with 5 weapons, maybe 10 weapons if it's an assault, and a few quote-unquote abilities, which are like special pieces of equipment, is nothing new. I think we have to trust players to be able to understand this, you know, this advanced tech in the Illclan era, and believe that they can understand it even the first time that they play. I mean, that's been my experience. People I've introduced it to, they were able to pick it up. There was no problem. They were able to pick up ECM and Artemis and targeting computers. I mean, that was not hard for them. I think, you know, if you're introducing kids, I think there's definitely an argument to be made for using the starter box rules, using the half record sheets that don't use heat and that don't have internals, and getting them used to it. I think that is an even easier way than intro tech to introduce someone who can't understand or who has a hard time understanding those concepts, just because it's just words they don't even know. But I think that for most players who have played any kind of complicated board game, these rules are going to be fine. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think folks are going to be fine as well. I haven't. The only new player that I've drugged into Classic Battletech, right? Because like I mostly have been introducing people to Alpha Strike. For Classic, like you described, you're already teaching them so much stuff. Like, what is it then to just make the extra step to be like, hey, this is what stealth armor does. You know, it's a +1 or it's a +2 to hit, you know, when it's activated. It generates more heat. Like, they're already learning how to apply heat. They're already learning their attack modifiers. So what's a +1? What is, you know, just a little extra heat? I think we really do have to, like, trust that it's, like, it's not that scary. It's not that scary to go in and, you know, yeah, sure, that mech has claws on it. It just does extra damage. It's just a buff. When you boil it down to its essentials.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, and again, as long as those new players can know what their mechs or units are capable of, then, you know, it's okay to not know everything about what your opponent has and maybe have to look it up or have to rely on your opponent. The Battletech community is really good about helping new players along. And so I'm confident that this is going to be a new and exciting method for onboarding new players.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Also, too, even I'm hoping, I don't know if it's going to be before the core rulebook hits release, but I am hoping to play a game with these new rules very soon. You know, whether that's with my home group or with you guys in Tabletop Sim or something, I don't know. But I want to test them very soon.
I would love to have you. I'd love to have you. Possibly after Gen Con, though.
Oh, yes, definitely after Gen Con. I know. It's like we're getting this recorded. I've got to splice together two pieces, so it's going to take me a little longer to publish this, but, you know, just like an hour. And then Gen Con's going to be going on the next 3 days. Today's the 30th. And then we'll probably want to do a Gen Con wrap up. And then we'll probably do the second core rulebook coverage with the actual, like, rules changes. So, and sprinkled in between there, I'll probably be doing some unboxing videos. And you know, shorter videos just for the YouTube channel on the on these products when I get them. So
you gotta show us what's in that new core box, man.
Oh, dude,
as well as that new beginner box.
Yeah. I'm so excited. So again, huge shout out to Seneca for offering to do that and being willing to do it. Also to my Silver Fox Fauxhawks group who were there in person except for me, but that's okay. hopefully we'll get a picture of them with their shirts on at some point. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to seeing the stuff coming out of it, but really I was just most excited for these things to hit. But yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah, I'm excited for all this stuff. And yeah, shout outs to everybody at Gen Con who is volunteering for CGL to hold the line.
Absolutely.
We've been here for a moment, so I've been disconnected, but I heard murmurings that, like, they could very well be sold out of some stuff by Thursday night already. So,
man,
there was a ballpark estimate of like 70,000 to 80,000 people. So,
oh yeah, Gen Con itself was sold out before it started. It usually isn't that way, but I mean, it's may or may not be an indication. May or may not be an indication of BattleTech itself, but I think that BattleTech is going to be doing just fine. So, I know their booth is bigger than ever. I know they've got, they said something like 400 was the max books that they've sold before, and they've got like 1,200 or something books this year, and they are already getting indications that they might all get sold.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to get absolutely wiped out, and that's great. Like, it's more product in people's hands, more people who get to play and experience BattleTech. You know, this game and hobby that we love.
Yeah, they didn't limit, thankfully, they did not limit how many copies of this people could buy. And I say thankfully because selfishly, I couldn't make it to Gen Con, so I needed somebody to pick one up and send it to me. Now, that said, I understand some people are like, ugh, can't believe you do that. That's less that are going to go to retail. But I promise they're going to go to retail very soon.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's people worried about it going to, like, general retail. No. I saw one comment mentioning, like, scalpers. I'm not going to say everybody walking away with, like, three copies of the core box is a scalper. Certainly, I myself would want multiple copies just because it's nice to have the same mechs and multiple forces.
And I bet there's some stores that are picking up like a box of them, potentially. Because they said they were selling boxes, which I think a box is probably like six copies or something, maybe. But if they had enough that they were selling them by the box and they still had a ton left, I think they'll make it to Friday, at least, maybe even Saturday. Maybe not for everything, but for some things for sure. So, I've heard the street date for the starter box of August 12th. We'll see how close they get to that. I've also heard the core rulebook was a little later, more like the end of September as opposed to mid September, which is what we originally thought. So I think there's just some logistics in there, but I don't think it's going to be, at least for the US fans. So if you're not in the US, I apologize. I wish that they had their logistics for you guys squared away to where you got it just as fast as we did. If I had a way to tell them to do it faster, I would. I do not know that though.
Yeah, we'll just tell Lauren that he needs to buy like the ships and the warehouses.
Yeah, no big deal. No big deal.
You know, just payroll the drop ships himself.
I mean, I feel like a plane would probably be cheaper than a ship, but you know.
I don't know. Man. Some people are just giving them out these days.
Well, there you go.
Have you seen jet fuel prices?
That's prices in general. I think, you know, again, I think this is going to be a positive. I think this is going to be a great all of products. We're gonna get Snowblind at some point, hopefully in September-ish, maybe as well. We'll see.
Yeah, the date right now is just the fall. Like, there's no exact date. It's just projected to get out during the fall. I am hoping and assuming, you know, before Black Friday or around that time.
I would assume so.
Yeah, that makes the most sense for me anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Zimmer, do you got any shout-outs?
I think I already threw out my shout-out. Just, you know, shout-out to all the folks at Gen Con who are helping out and volunteering for CGL. That is, you know, making the experience what it is. You know, the folks who are working the booth, the folks who are hosting games, you know, being GMs. They're volunteering so much of their time because they love the hobby, and just shout outs to those folks.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Zimmer, for coming on the show. Be sure to like and subscribe the podcast, check it out on YouTube, drop me a comment, tell me what you're excited about in the core rules, core box, or from Gen Con. let us know if there's something that you want us to cover in the rules section when we get to that. We'll be happy to do that. Don't forget, the show is sponsored by Fortress Miniatures and Games. Be sure to check them out. There'll be a link in the show notes. And I know there's a lot of people overseas that get some stuff from them. But thank you all for watching. Hope you have a wonderful rest of Gen Con if you're there, or rest of your weekend. And we'll see you next time. Good night. God bless.